Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
I entitled this message this morning simply, No Resurrection, No Good. No Resurrection, No Good. And I want you to look with me in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and there are six things that I'd like to bring to your attention today that would be no good if Christ had not risen. If Christ had not risen, these things would be no good. I want you to look in verse number 14. We'll read the whole verse this time. The Bible says, And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19, If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. The first thing that I want to say that if Christ had not risen, then the preaching of our faith is in vain. The preaching of our faith is in vain. Now, when I use the word faith over and over this morning, I'm talking about a saving faith. I'm talking about a faith that will take you off the road to hell and place you on the road to heaven. I'm talking about a faith that is only in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Not a faith in your good works, not a faith in your baptism, not a faith in being a church member, not a faith in anything you've done, anything that you can merit or earn, but faith only and solely in Jesus Christ. The Bible says to examine yourselves, why? Whether you be in the faith. If you're not in the faith, and if you don't soon get in the faith before you die, you will be in hell. When it comes down to it, the Word of God says you're either in the faith when it's all said and done, or you're in hell. I'm glad that I'm in the faith. And so, number one, the preaching of our faith is no good. Notice what it says in verse 14. If Christ be not risen, if on that third and glorious morning when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and the other ladies that came to anoint the dead body of Jesus, if He was still there, if He had not arose from the grave as He said He would, then number one, the preaching of our faith is in vain. You're here wasting your time listening to me this morning. If He's not a risen Savior, throw away every Bible you have, throw away every CD that you listen to, if it's some reading of the Scripture or some preaching or teaching of the Scripture, the preaching of our faith is in vain. If Christ be not risen, then number one, the preaching of our faith is all the preaching you've heard, all the teaching you've heard, all the times that you've left service, just, boy, I was really blessed today. Boy, the Lord really used the preacher. He used the Sunday school teacher. It really helped me today. All that is in vain if Christ had not risen. The preaching of our faith is no good if Christ had not rose from the grave. The second thing I want you to see is found in that same verse, verse number 14. If Christ be not risen, Then is our preaching vain? And number two, your faith is also vain. Not only is the preaching of your faith vain or no good, but the placing of your faith is no good. We read the story in the Word of God about the disciples who were on the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says that a storm arose, and that the thunder began to crash, the lightning flash, and the waves began to be unruly, and there was a wild tempest. And the Bible says that the disciples began to worry. They began to fret. We know that the Lord was in the ship and He was asleep. And so they went and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you not care that we're about to die?" When they left that shore, they had peace. They had their hope. They had their faith in that boat. But when that boat began to be destroyed by the winds and the waves and the water, they lost their faith. Because they had their faith in the wrong object. They had their faith in a boat and not in Jesus Christ. Because they went to Jesus and said, "Don't you care? We're about to die here." See, the object of your faith is what's important. A lot of people have faith. A lot of people have faith. When we read the Scriptures a while ago, and you had a seat back in your pew, not one of you thought, "Will this pew hold me up?" If you did think it, you won't tell nobody. You know why? Because you're practicing your faith in that pew. We all have faith. The problem is, what is the object of your faith? Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, His resurrection must be the object of our faith. The placing of our faith would be in vain. My faith is in Him and in Him alone. My faith is not in what I can do, but it's in what He's already done. My faith is not in my good works, but my faith is in His perfect work. But if the placing of my faith is in Him, but if He's not risen, then the placing of my faith is like the preaching of my faith. It's no good. Eternal life cannot be found by placing your faith in a dead man. Eternal life cannot be found by placing your faith in a dead man. All these worldwide religions, they claim that their leader or their prophet is their Savior, but yet they're dead in the grave. And they place their faith in a dead man for eternal life. Didn't work that way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He told Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, she said, "I know my brother lived in the last resurrection." And Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." You're looking right at the resurrection and the life. So, if Christ had not risen, He's a dead founder of a religion like all the other dead founders are. You cannot have eternal life by placing your faith in a dead leader or a dead Savior. So if Christ be not risen, the preaching of our faith is no good. The placing of our faith is no good. And number three, the practicing of our faith is no good. Look at verse 15. Yea. He says, if Christ not be risen, yea, we are found false witnesses of God. Paul is telling the Christians at the city of Corinth, he said, if Christ be not risen, then he said, I am a liar. You are a liar. You are living a hypocritical life. You are lying and deceiving everybody by giving them a false hope in a man that is dead. The practicing of our faith would be no good if Christ had not risen. Now, preaching and practicing are two totally different things. A lot of folks know how to preach. They know how to talk. But we're talking about folks that practice their faith. Folks always, they'll say, "Well, I'm not a practicing Catholic. I'm a professing Catholic. I'd say that there's a lot of professing Christians, but not a whole lot of practicing Christians. And so the practicing of our faith, how do we witness? It said we are false. What? Witnesses. How do we witness? We witness, the greatest way to witness is by our life, how we live. Anybody can talk a good talk, but it's how you live your life. And so if Christ be not risen, then the preaching of our faith is no good. The placing of our faith is no good. The practicing of our faith is no good. Well, I'll tell you, it gets worse. Look at verse 17. This is devastating. If Christ be not risen, verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If Christ did not arise from the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea on the third and glorious morning that he said he would, and as the scripture said he did, then we are still in our sins. His death alone cannot save you. His death and resurrection is what saves you. I wrote this down in my Bible, and I said he died for our sins, but he arose for our salvation. He died for our sins, but he arose for our salvation. The purpose of his death was to take away eternal death from us. The purpose of his death was to take eternal death from us. The purpose of his resurrection was to give us eternal life. We live all because he lives. He resurrected. Thank God, one day our physical body will resurrect from the graves, and God will give us a brand new body. The Bible says that the corruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. 1 John 3:1 says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now don't get the idea that we're going to be a bunch of Jesuses in heaven. That's not what it's saying. It says we're going to have a body like his. No pain, no suffering, no heartaches. Praise the Lord for that. Never do you hear a siren in heaven. You never get a prescription filled in heaven. You never see somebody walking with a cane or a walker or riding in a wheelchair. You never hear about cancer in heaven. It's all the formal things are passed away. But if Christ had not risen, then guess what? The pardoning in our faith is no good. If Christ died just like the Bible said he died, if he shed his blood just like the Bible said he shed his blood, and everything lined up the way the Bible said it did, and yet if he's still in that tomb, if he did not rise from the dead, then our pardoning is no good. The pardon that you've got for your sins is no good. You're still in your sins. So the preaching of our faith is no good if Christ is not risen. The placing of our faith is no good if he's not risen, because he's dead and we placed our faith in a dead man. The practicing of our faith as witnesses is no good if he's not risen. The pardoning in our faith is no good. Why? We were still being our sins. Then number five, the promise that is in our faith would be no good. Look at verse 18 with me. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. The Bible says that those loved ones that you've attended that homegoing service for, and you've had people sing the songs that one day we'll meet again in heaven. What a glad reunion day. And the preacher preached and he read from the scriptures from the book of Thessalonians that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air and to be with the Lord forevermore. And you went to the graveyard and a minister gathered around the family and he read the scriptures that and assured you and I that we're on resurrection ground. And you left that place with some hope and joy, knowing that Because Christ arose, one day my loved ones will arise and we'll meet again. But if Christ had not risen, then that promise is no good. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. A dead man can't come again. I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Philip said to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? Amen. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If Jesus had not risen, then the promise is no good. Then last of all, look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Preacher, if Christ had not risen, then the preaching of our faith is no good. The placing of our faith is no good. The practicing of our faith is no good. The pardoning of our faith is no good. The promise that is found in our faith is no good. And last of all, verse 19 tells us, if Christ had not risen, then the peace that comes with our faith is no good. The peace that comes with our faith is no good. Paul wrote, he said that, notice the wording there, he said, if in this life only, this is a spiritual book, you must understand it with a spiritual mind. And Paul is saying that there's two lives. There's a physical life and there's an eternal life. There's life before death and there's life after death. And he is saying that for those of us that claim to be Christians, if only in this present life we're living, the physical life, right now, with all this aches and heartaches and troubles, all this disappointments, all this discouragement, with all the troubles we face, if we only have hope in this life and no hope in the afterlife, we'd be most miserable. What I'm trying to say is that if he had not risen, the peace that comes with our faith is no good. But I want you to understand that the gospel story of Jesus Christ does not end at a tomb. Hallelujah. Does not end. His life story does not end at a tomb. This chapter does not end by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God anointed Paul to write verse number 20. He says, now if Christ be not raised, the preaching of our faith is in vain. If Christ be not raised, the placing of our faith is in vain. The practicing of our faith is in vain. If Christ be not raised, the pardoning of our faith in our faith is no good. The promise that is in our faith is no good. And if Christ be not raised, then the peace that comes with our faith is no good. But, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. But now is Christ is risen from the dead. And because he is risen, it's all good. The preaching is good. The placing of our faith is good. The practicing of our faith is good. The pardoning in our faith is good. Your sins are washed away. You have been cleansed, you that are saved. The promise that is in our faith that we'll be reunited one day with not only our loved ones, but with the lovely one, Jesus Christ. That's all good. And the peace that comes in our faith, it's all good too. Why? What made the difference? What made the difference? Not a dead Jesus. A dead Jesus couldn't do these things, but a risen Savior. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. What's that mean, preacher? He was the first to resurrect, and now we, His children, will follow. And one day we will be resurrected. And it goes on to say that, for since by man came death, that man was Adam. By man, Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I'm glad because of His resurrection. Everything that I showed you from 1 Corinthians 15, it's all good. It's all good. Praise the Lord. Why? He's a risen Savior. He's a risen Savior. And if He's not your risen Savior, then it's all bad. It's all bad. You're heading to a place called hell. Not because God hates you, but because you've rejected this risen Savior. You've rejected His only begotten Son. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that you can begin a personal relationship with a very much alive Jesus Christ. Preacher, I wasn't there. I've never been down to that tomb where they claimed that that's where the body of Jesus had been laid there by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. Preacher, I've never been there. I've not seen some great vision while I'm sleeping at night where He just appeared and said, "Hey, look, touch me and feel me," like He said, "Thomas, and know that I'm alive." That's never happened to me, preacher. Preacher, how can I know that He's real? How can I know that He's alive? If you begin a relationship with Him, He'll change your life. And that's the greatest evidence that He lives because of the changed lives. I'm glad up from the grave He arose. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. We thank You, Lord, that, Lord, as we tried to look at from a different or a different side here, if You had not arisen, if You're still in that grave, if on that third and glorious morning when Mary Magdalene and Mary and the others that came to anoint Your dead body, if You would have been there, Lord, and Lord, this preaching this morning would have been no good. Lord, the placing of our faith in You and You alone is no good. Lord, the practicing of our faith, being witnesses by our life, is no good. Lord, the pardon, the forgiveness of sins would be no good. Lord, it'd be no good. The promise that we'd be reunited with not only our loved ones but with You would be no good. And then the peace that You promise would be no good.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John, chapter number 14, that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.